Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Right now, giving away a one-week membership to the Row House in Greenwood Village. It's a great workout. I have done it. It is more than just sitting on that rowing machine. They get you off the rowing machine. You're doing weights, and you're going back. It is a full body, low impact, so it's good on your joints. Go check it out on us. I mean, why not? It's free, right? Usually gyms will give you maybe a day or two. Row House Greenwood Village, they're going to give you a full week. Give us a call. First caller is going to get this. Heck, we'll give it to the first four callers. 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, we told you at the top of the show, we'll repeat it again. Von Miller is under criminal investigation by the Parker Police Department. KDVR Television, which is Fox 31 in town, is reporting Miller is being investigated for possible domestic violence. And as you and I talked about earlier on in the show, I think it's more of a story that he, if he has been charged, this is just an investigation. So for anybody to start jumping to conclusions on this and what the Broncos are going to do, I think they're just going to wait this out. If he does get charged, then I think, for lack of a better phrase, then I think the wheels go in motion at Dove Valley, specifically with their new general manager, George Payton.
Yeah, and that being said, even if he isn't charged, it doesn't mean that he's coming back.
If he is not charged, do you believe it'll affect a dollar figure amount to a restructure?
100%. I mean, he's in better shape dollar-wise in terms of guaranteed money that he could get if he doesn't have these charges floating over him. Because if he is facing charges...
No, if there are no charges.
No, that's what I mean. No,
is it business as usual?
It's business as usual because here's the thing. If he's charged and the Broncos try to restructure him, if he has those charges over him, the Broncos can play hardball and say, look, you go on the market, you're facing these charges and a potential suspension, and you might not find what you're looking for, and that this offer that we're giving you right now is the best offer you're going to get.
Here's something else, and I'm going to be kind of cryptic when I say this. You and I were both made aware last week that there was an issue with Von Miller and another woman, correct?
Yeah, there was stuff that was posted on Twitter and Instagram. Yep.
Okay. Now I also happen to have a text exchange as well. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Broncos have a hold of that as well.
Yes.
I almost have no doubt that they have seen that. I don't. From what I have read, I wouldn't necessarily say there is anything incriminating where Von Miller would be charged with harassment, because I've only seen a small snippet of these.
And all of that was public on social media. Like that had like the, I think there was like the, there was the sonogram.
Well, that's what was public.
Yes.
But are you referring to the text exchange back and forth?
Some of the texts were put out there. Yes. On social media last week.
Okay. So the Broncos may look at that and say, Von, what the hell were you thinking?
I'm sure they did.
And that might factor into their decision, whether he is charged or not. But I doubt it will.
Yeah, there's, at minimum, there are questions, pointed questions, that will be asked of Von Miller internally regarding his judgment and what was going on here.
Right.
Now, his ex-girlfriend, according to some people have put this out, it was on Instagram and they've shared it on Twitter. His ex-girlfriend is now coming out and put a statement on Instagram that said At no point in our relationship was there any type of physical abuse or violence by Vaughn whatsoever. For anyone to say otherwise or speculate such is wrong. With regards to my social media post, the part was misconstrued and taken out of context. I do regret making a private situation public and doing so bring unwanted attention to both Vaughn and myself.
Case closed.
Vaughn and I are excited to be welcoming our baby into the world and are committed to raising our child with love, compassion, and compassion together as a family.
Well, according to the text, I don't think Vaughn's very excited about welcoming that new baby into the world.
I would say so. And the other thing that's interesting is that, yeah, you get into he said, she said, and maybe you have a party that does not want to press forward with charges. But if there are things in the text message chain, then those can easily be accessed
as harassment
by the exactly, and harassment would be something from that could be a criminal charge.
From the text that I saw and you saw. Now, I sent you that text this morning.
Right.
Not the thing that was on Twitter. Had you seen that before?
That had been posted on social media, yes.
Okay. And it's probably not that hard to find. Vaughn doesn't sound like he is the least bit interested in being a father right now. With that, and I don't blame him. He's young. He's a young athlete, and you know, I totally understand that. And when did she put that out on Instagram?
Middle of last week, I believe it was last Wednesday.
Wait, no. What you just read?
Oh, that was this afternoon.
Well, then it sounds to me like unless Vaughn did something really stupid, like leave a paper trail where he could be, you know, charged with harassment. Mm-hmm. And she has already said there's been no domestic violence, right?
That's what was put out there today. Yes.
So if she's saying there's no domestic violence, right? And then next up would be harassment. And then you look at the email chain or the text chain. And if there's nothing there, it's almost as if this never happened with what we're talking about right now. Doesn't sound like she's going to press charges. Then again, she's carrying his baby, so that could be kind of ugly on a lot of different levels.
Well, she wouldn't press charges, but at the same time, if there's stuff that we haven't seen in the text message, it's possible that the Parker Police Department in Douglas County could choose to press charges on their own.
Let's say
based on things in the text. And again,
we haven't seen all their exchanges.
Exactly. And those can easily be subpoenaed from Verizon or whatever the carrier is.
If she is coming out and saying everything's fine, I don't think she, let's say this, for some reason he was charged and went to court. She may not want to testify.
Right.
And then you have no case.
Because then it's not even he said, she said.
Right.
Because the prosecutor says
and what Vaughn says.
Yeah.
There is no case.
If there are no witnesses, there'd be no case.
Right.
I mean, sort of the same thing came up with Tyreek Hill. You know, he wasn't charged. There were no witnesses to anything.
Right.
So thus no one to corroborate, and thus there were no charges that were going to be filed. This was a couple of summers ago. Just how it goes.
Right. So you think he gets a full offer, meaning full offer as in a full restructure?
I think he gets a full restructure offer in the right. end.
Do you think this will play into
again,
it at all?
I think George,
let's say there are no
I think
charges.
George Payton's going to say, look, I know if you weren't charged, if he's not charged, I think he'll say, hey, what were you thinking here? What's
right.
going on? And it would be fair to question the judgment. And again, when you're faced with a cap that could be at $175 million, yes, the Broncos are in cap compliance. If the $175 million cap kicked in today with their commitments, they would be in cap compliance, but they would only have little over $1 million of cap space available. And, oh, by the way, you've got, at minimum, restricted free agents like Tim Patrick, Philip Lindsay, to take care of, Alexander Johnson as well.
Right.
And presumably you want to be active on the market, and you're going to be adding to the quarterback room to some degree. So there are moves that are going to be made, and you know, if there isn't a restructure to be had, Vaughn Miller, $18 million off your cap is one that could be appetizing to George Payton if he wants to remake the roster in his image.
Coming up after the break, Four great football games on tap for this weekend. Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills, Browns, Chiefs, Buccaneers at the Saints. We will make our picks with the spread. You want to go with the spread?
Sure.
Okay. We'll go with the spread. Then we'll talk about what would be the best championship games. Although I think we kind of teased that earlier in the show. But if you didn't listen earlier in the show, you'll be totally surprised at what we have to say. I don't want to know, no, no, no. Who's taking you home, 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 home? I'm loving you so, 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 so.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk. Here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at mileyesports.com. You can reach us. Granite Liquidators Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Here's why you need to go there. Their process and their pricing. They bring in their granite personally. They do this. They fly directly in. They have somebody go out there, and then the guy brings it back. Other places, they have somebody else pick out the granite, whatever country it is in, and it goes through a bunch of hands, like an importer, an exporter, and then the price continues to go up. That's why the prices are always so good at Granite Liquidators. Plus, when you go there, you see a piece of granite you want, you literally write your name on a piece of tape, you put it on that piece of granite, that's the piece you're going to get. You go someplace else, you see something in a showroom, and you might get something, you'll get something like it, but you're not going to get that exact piece. You're not going to get that exact piece. You will at Granite Liquidators. The process and their pricing, unmatched. Go to graniteliquidators.com or find them in Wheat Ridge. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by The Row House in Greenwood Village. Tired of the same workout? Go to Row House in Greenwood Village. They make it fun, incorporating weights, stretching, music, and great instructors into six different classes. Sign up for your free class today at therowhouse.com/location/Greenwood-Village.
Okay, so I bet on the games last weekend. I did relatively well. I'm looking at the games this weekend, and I can't pick one. I literally cannot pick one game where I'd say, you know what, I feel good about that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. In fact, on the DMVR Broncos podcast I did this morning, when we got to our pick segment,
yeah,
I cited the Jimmy the Greek parody from The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, that seems hard to believe coming from you.
Yeah. And he comes on the air and says, first game today, Denver, New England is too close to call. But if you're one of those compulsive types who has to bet, I don't know, Denver. Right. And that's kind of how I feel about it.
Right.
If you're a compulsive type who has to bet, go ahead and place a bet. But if you're just looking for something casual,
I'd do a hard pass
on the point spread. I'd be looking at prop bets.
Yeah.
Or I'd, for example, Cleveland, Kansas City, the way Cleveland plays defense, I believe the over-under on Cleveland, Kansas City is 57.
Okay.
I'd take the over on that, even though that's a big over-under number. The way Cleveland's moving the ball, the way Cleveland plays defense, that's got shootout written all over it. But I don't feel good about, the only game I really feel reasonably good about is Packers favored by, I believe, 6.5 over the Rams.
It's funny you should say that.
But the Rams are playing defense so well
exactly, that
this could be a 17-13
right.
slugfest
right.
that Green Bay just ekes out.
Here's one way to put it. If you have the number one offense against the number one defense, who are you generally speaking taking? The defense.
The defense.
Right. Now,
in a big game.
The Rams don't have a historically great defense like the Seahawks did against the Broncos in the Super Bowl, and that thing was a wipeout within the first 10 minutes. So when I look at Aaron Donald, I'm thinking, I know that Aaron Rodgers has had a terrific year, but if Aaron Donald gets loose, wow, what kind of havoc can he cause? Because the spread is 6.5. And while I don't believe the Rams defense is very good, or the Rams offense is very good, Aaron Donald scares me to give the Rams 6.5 points.
That's fair. I'm still taking the Packers because I think Green Bay is going to muster just enough. But if you're taking the Packers and giving 6.5, it's going to be suspenseful. I think 20-10 is the type of scoreline we may see in the end, but doesn't take a lot for that 20-10 scoreline to be 20-14 instead. And so that's the one that I feel best about, but even I don't feel great about it. The rest, I mean, Cleveland is getting 10.5 against Kansas City. And now what's interesting about that is that Patrick Mahomes has 5 playoff starts to his name, and the Chiefs have won 4 of them, all by at least 11 points.
Right.
All but the Super Bowl were in Arrowhead Stadium. Super Bowl, of course, was on a neutral field with a lot of Chiefs fans. You're going to have 16,000 Chiefs fans in there, so it's not going to be nearly the environment that you would expect. I don't feel good about taking the Chiefs and giving 10.5 points.
As you know, I represent FanDuel.
Yes.
And I don't want to turn this into a FanDuel commercial.
But
they have one betting option that I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's called Winning Margin 4-Way. And I talked to a buddy of mine who's on another app, and he said, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. This is Winning Margin 4-Way. As I said to you, with Aaron Donald on the field, I'm not so sure I'm giving the Rams 6.5.
That's fair.
With that, Winning Margin 4-Way on FanDuel is this. You can pick the Packers to win by 1-13 points, and it's still plus 135. You feel confident that the Packers are going to win, and they're going to win by less than 2 touchdowns? I do. That's a bet I would make.
I would make that bet, too.
Exactly. And then the Packers winning by 2 touchdowns or more, that's plus 185. I'll give you a good example of this particular way to bet. The Ohio State-Alabama game, all right, which turned out to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama to win between 1 and 13 points was plus 130. Sounds like a good bet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it was, 14 points or more? Plus 120.
Mm.
They were favored to destroy Ohio State, which is exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what they did. Let's move on. Ravens-Bills. This is another game that scares me. Josh Allen has been terrific. I don't like the Bills' defense trying to find a way to slow down Lamar Jackson, and it's give the Ravens 2.5 points. Road, at home, that really doesn't matter to me. I don't know if the Bills can slow down Lamar Jackson. Maybe they can keep the ball away from Josh Allen. And their defense, the Ravens' defense, is still really good. They can get to the passer, but there's one thing that I would say that Josh Allen does really, really well. Really, really well. Better than most. He's great when he faces a blitz. And the Ravens blitz all the time.
And I think that's why this game also has, kind of like Cleveland, can't say, this has shootout written all over it, because I think Josh Allen
can't. You think shootout, really?
Absolutely. Because I look, the Colts would have won that game with north of 30 points if they had made better decisions. With all respect to the Bills, the Colts did as much to lose last week as the Bills did to win.
Yeah.
And
well, they left points on the board,
right,
too.
And watching
six of them,
and watching
two field goals, should have kicked one and then missed one.
And watching what the Colts did, that should set off alarm bells, because Baltimore has proven that they can win a game where they've got the opposing defense on the run. And yeah, Cleveland put up 40 plus points on the Ravens,
right?
But Baltimore had one more punch in them. And this game could be a lot like that Monday night Cleveland-Baltimore game, where Buffalo and Josh Allen put up a huge number on the Ravens defense. They exploit the blitz. They catch him off guard. But Baltimore has one more punch than the Bills do. And they end up winning on the last drive, because Buffalo, they can't stop anybody on their own. They need help. They need the opponent helping them. Remember the Broncos game against the Bills? Drew Lock had a bad day.
Yep.
He had an inaccurate day. the Broncos moved the ball pretty well for long stretches.
Right. So who are you taking?
I'm taking Baltimore.
Yeah, it'd be hard not to take them. All right, how about the Browns against the Chiefs? This is how I see it. The Browns can run the ball, and they can play keep away from Patrick Mahomes. Plus, they have two guys who can get to the quarterback, Myles Garrett and Oliver Vernon. I don't know if they'll catch. I don't know if they will catch
Mahomes. And you know how Patrick Mahomes can capitalize off pressure.
Yeah.
Especially if the Browns say, we got to bring somebody else to get some heat on Patrick Mahomes. He's going to find that soft spot in the defense. This is...
My worry is Nick Chubb has a day,
right,
and they play keep away and they keep the score low. But I would never bet. It's hard. It's almost impossible to bet against Patrick Mahomes, but 10 points is a lot, especially if Baker Mayfield plays well.
Well,
because he's the X factor.
And the other interesting thing, the Raiders did beat the Chiefs playing keep away.
Right.
It was 40-32. That game they played back right. in October.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons
why... Yeah, but the
Chiefs
don't have the same pass rush.
Right. That's one of the reasons why I love the over on this game, even if the Browns come out and try to establish the run, because that's not going to prevent this game from seeing the scoreboard light up.
Right.
I think the Chiefs win, but I don't think they cover, so I'm going to take the Browns.
You don't think they cover?
I think the Chiefs win a close game.
Yeah, you might be right. Okay, final game. Buccaneers Saints.
Who are you picking?
I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes.
Even with a 10.5 point spread.
I can't pick. No, because he can score every single time he touches the ball. The only way the Chiefs don't win this game by 10 points is if Mahomes turns it over twice. If they keep giving the ball away and Chubb just runs it down their throat.
See, the other thing is, and this is why the although lines Denzel, are what
although,
they are.
Although,
this has backdoor cover written all over it. The Chiefs are winning by 17. The Browns get that touchdown and narrow it to 10, and then they beat the 10.5 point spread.
How do you like the cornerback trio of MJ Stewart, Denzel Ward, and BJ Goodson? You think they can compete, for lack of a better phrase?
Denzel Ward can.
Yeah, I know.
MJ Stewart, I loved him coming out of North Carolina, and I was ecstatic when the Bucks picked him.
North Carolina guy.
And he just... He had a good Senior Bowl week. Steve Atwater liked him.
What the hell's Brett Favre doing?
He had the Atwater steal of approval from being down there, and didn't pan out for MJ.
Breeze Brady.
Going with Breeze because I don't like the Bucks secondary.
You don't think Shaquille Barrett has a day?
I hope he does.
No, you don't.
But what does Drew Brees do better than almost any quarterback? He gets the ball out quickly and neutralizes the edge rusher. And the Bucks.
So does Tom Brady.
The Bucks' strength is on the edge with Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul on the other side.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees is probably going to have the ball out before Shaq and JPP can have an impact.
Right.
So.
Is JPP the same as down with OPP?
Well, I know that in Tampa, they do like to say you down with JPP.
You know what OPP means?
I know one of the things it means. I can't say it on air.
I don't think the young guys do. Do you know what OPP means? Yeah, you know
other
me.
People's
good,
something?
Good for you. Well, you're older. You're
property.
Older. Other people's property.
Nicely done. Yes.
Nicely done, Danny.
Jason Pierre-Paul, by the way, I mean, he's pretty beloved in Tampa because he played for USF and then went to the Giants and then came back to play for the Bucks and had a good season. He had 9.5 sacks, but Drew Brees can diffuse the strength of the Buccaneers defense, and then the weakness is in the secondary. They've actually Levante David can cover from the linebacker position. The weakness is in the secondary and coverage, and I think the Saints will win it.
Coming up after the break. Jacksonville Jaguars new head coach Urban Meyer met the media today, and he said something so stunning, I'm guessing every reporter dropped the pen in his or her hand. What did he say? That's next. Like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Just
fine before I met you.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason watches milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
Okay, Urban Meyer met the media today, the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he said something, and I think everyone said, really? You didn't really mean what you said, did you? And what he said was that drafting a quarterback with a number one overall pick will be the biggest decision he will make with the team. Now, that kind of reminds me of the late Joe Paterno when Penn State would play Stony Brook, and the Nittany Lions would be favored by 45, and Joe Paterno would sit at his media conference and say,
Stony Brook has a good pass rush, and I think they could give us some problems.
Lou Holtz used to do the same thing whenever they played Navy, and Navy was terrible.
Right.
Navy could be 1-8. He'd be talking them up as the greatest thing since the Four Horsemen. In
football. There is no decision for Urban Meyer here. He may have played a role in bringing Justin Fields to Ohio State. So just to give you the chronology here, the last season for Urban Meyer was 2018 at Ohio State. Justin Fields was playing at Georgia in 2018.
Yeah, Fields entered the transfer portal, I believe, on December 18th of 2018. So Urban Meyer had already
gone.
Left Ohio State. Now, that being said,
yeah,
you figure Urban Meyer has better intel on Justin Fields than almost anybody.
Correct.
Because, you know, Ryan Day was his former offensive coordinator who actually served as the interim head coach in his place and also worked under Urban Meyer at Florida back in the day. So even though he didn't recruit Justin Fields, he knows everything about Justin Fields.
And it doesn't matter if he thinks Justin Fields is the greatest quarterback of all time, because the smart pick is Trevor Lawrence.
Correct.
I mean, could you imagine if they picked Justin Fields?
Well, if you're Shahid Khan, the Jags owner, and by all accounts,
he said he wants to get involved, so I think he's already made the decision.
He's involved, and I imagine he's asking the question, who are you taking at quarterback?
Yeah.
And if the answer was someone other than Trevor Lawrence,
right,
that coach isn't getting hired. I think Urban Meyer is just, he's playing the game. He's trying to get people to chase the breadcrumbs and maybe think, oh, they might not pick Trevor Lawrence. Just trying a little bit of the okey-doke here. That's all this is. The Jaguars are still picking Trevor Lawrence. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Let's
today.
Say for the sake of argument, and this is Sports Talk Radio because that's what we do, sake of arguments.
Yes.
Playing devil's advocate. Let's say the Broncos can put together a Herschel Walker type of deal for the number one pick. Would you put together a Herschel Walker type deal for Trevor Lawrence or for Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson is proven elite.
Is that who you're doing?
You're probably doing Deshaun Watson.
No, you're not.
Why?
As far as what you see in front of you, meaning you're not looking beyond the horizon line.
If you're doing it for right now, you're doing it for Deshaun Watson. But if you're thinking 4 or 5 years down the line and you're thinking Trevor Lawrence is a cost-controlled quarterback.
There we go. That's the key word. Because if you give up all that capital for Deshaun Watson, you are loaded down, and it's good because he's a great quarterback, he's worth it, with a huge contract. To your point with Trevor Lawrence, for the next 5 years, you have very little on your books for a quarterback, and that will allow you to bring back a Cortland Sutton, a Justin Simmons, so on and so forth.
And here's,
you bring in Deshaun Watson,
right,
give up all those draft picks, you are going to go through a period where you have Deshaun Watson and who else?
And here's the deal. And this is another thing. what percentage odds do you think there are for Trevor Lawrence becoming an elite quarterback, say top 7 or 8 in the league every year?
After his first year, or you're talking about first year?
Let's say within the within 2 to 3 years, 2 to 3 years being elite.
I'm guessing it. Listen, I'm not a talent evaluator, right, but everybody I've talked to.
But he's generational.
Yes.
And so probably, wouldn't you say about 80%?
Sure.
Okay. Now, Deshaun Watson is 100%.
No question.
But the 80% is probably enough when you think about the fact that Deshaun Watson is going to cost you, I believe he gets into the mid $30 million
that's what it's all about.
Territory per year.
It's a money thing as much as anything else.
And Trevor Lawrence is going to be cost controlled for 5 years, although if he plays as well as you expect, you're starting to rip up that contract probably after 3 and work on an extension to make it more to make things more palatable for him. But the other thing is, look around at the AFC playoffs right now. Now, Mahomes just signed a new deal, but he still is on a cap number that is
Team friendly.
It's team friendly right now. Baker Mayfield, rookie contract. Lamar Jackson, rookie contract. Josh Allen, rookie contract. Your best window is if you've got an elite quarterback who is young and on that first deal. Yeah. That's why I think like Jacksonville, with the cap space they have, with Trevor Lawrence, with 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks this year, they can microwave this quickly. I would not at all shock me if at this time next year, Jacksonville's still playing.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Especially if Deshaun Watson ends up out of Houston. Now, they're trying to kind of rebuild the dam a little bit there to keep him around. But if Deshaun Watson, if this results in a trade, the Jaguars are in position to seize the AFC South. If Watson's not in the mix, if the Colts see Philip Rivers retire, the Titans have Ryan Tannehill, but that might be their biggest competition. This could work out really well for the Jaguars. Would not at all surprise me if the first season for Urban Meyer looks a lot like the first season for Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. New quarterback, people haven't caught on to what they're doing that first year. Could be one of the biggest turnarounds in NFL history.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, don't fall for what he's saying today.
No.
About Fields and Wilson. The intriguing thing here, especially from the Broncos' perspective, if they're considering trading up, is what does Robert Saleh think of Sam Darnold? Saleh got the Jets job, of course. Sure. Does he like Sam Darnold? Does he think he can build around him? Or does he think they're better off building around a number 2 overall pick, be it Zach Wilson or Justin Fields? Either way, I think the Broncos are going to be interested in what the Jets do, because if they decide not to go with Darnold, there's your ideal hedge on Drew Luck.
Well,
yeah. Young with upside.
Well, I'd rather have a veteran who can steady the ship than see if we can resurrect and resuscitate Sam Darnold's career.
But if you can resuscitate and resurrect Sam Darnold, there's your long-term answer.
Sure.
I'm more interested in Sam Darnold if he's available, because I don't want a stopgap. I don't want to spackle the. I don't want to spackle and duct tape and bailing wire this thing.
But remember something.
I want to get it foundationally right.
If Elway was still the GM, I think they'd go after Sam Darnold, because he loves Sam Darnold coming out in the draft. I was told that if he was sitting there at 5, Darnold would have been the pick. Make no mistake about it. But we don't know how much Peyton likes him.
And George Payton has been a part of an organization that has literally done everything at quarterback to find the guy.
Trade, free agency.
First round pick.
Bringing a Hall of Famer who's past his prime.
Yeah, and they've traded a first round pick for a quarterback that was a former number 1 overall choice. They've tried everything, and that's why this offseason is so fascinating. It's all on the table.
What do we have coming up on, just in case you missed it?
We will talk about the Nuggets, as another night means another triple-double for Nikola Jokic. Also, we'll dive a little bit deeper into that Robert Saleh head coaching hire, as well as another one in the NFL today. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, presented by Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Just in case you missed it, the Nuggets beat the Golden State Warriors last night 114-104. Jokic with 23 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, and 3 steals in the win. Thoughts on the Nuggets' recent performance and getting that record to 6-6 and even 500?
They play defense. Okay, but I'll say something else. At the beginning of the season, ESPN came out with their rankings of the top players in the NBA. I think Jokic was 11, or he was 9. I think he was 9.
Yeah.
He's top 5. First of all, he is leading the league in assists.
He's legitimately in the MVP conversation.
He has blossomed into not a superstar, a mega superstar. He is a triple-double waiting to happen every single night. Who's better than him? LeBron, at his advanced age. Giannis, and... you want to go Anthony Davis? Who else? I wouldn't put Kevin Durant over him right now.
Not Kevin Durant right now.
I wouldn't put Harden over him.
No. Harden only does one thing.
I wouldn't put Doncic over him.
With Doncic, the argument that we've had is that he's younger. So he's at a different stage in his development.
I'm talking about right now.
But right now, you'd rather have Jokic. Doncic is what, 5 years younger? That's the argument for Doncic. But right now, Jokic is better. I mean, it's like when he doesn't get a triple-double, you're disappointed. That's the expectation every night. And the other thing, and the magic of Jokic, is that because he has become the modern-day king of the triple-double, he doesn't have to be shooting well to make an impact. Last night, he goes 0 for 4 from 3. No problem. You know, he's 8 for 12 inside the arc, hits all his free throws, gets 14 boards, 10 assists. There are multiple things he can do to help you win, even when the outside shot isn't falling.
Who would you rather have, Jokic or Anthony Davis?
Jokic.
That's funny you should say that, because I value both sides of the floor. Mm-hmm. And Davis is an unbelievable defensive player. Plus, he can score big. Plus, he rebounds big. No, he doesn't pass the ball, but he blocks shots. I would take Davis, because he is so dominant on both ends of the floor.
The thing is, though, we've seen Davis win a title, but he's won the title with LeBron James there. And
you may never see Jokic win a title.
Is he ever going to play with somebody the caliber of LeBron James?
Well, not unless LeBron goes to Denver.
Right, exactly.
LeBron James is a generational, once-in-a-lifetime talent who is probably only behind Michael Jordan. It's not fair to say that, you know, Davis won because he won with
LeBron.
But
Anthony Davis is in a position where he doesn't have to be the alpha.
Correct.
In a way that Jokic, because Jamal Murray is inconsistent, by the way, 1 for 8 from 3 last night.
Yep.
Jokic has to be the alpha night in, night out right now.
He does.
AD doesn't have to be that for the Lakers.
I mean, I never thought I would see the day where I'd say Jokic is behind Giannis and is only behind LeBron, Giannis, and maybe Anthony Davis. He's the 4th best player in this league.
Yeah.
He's better than Doncic right now.
Right now, yes.
And you know what? We have Nathan MacKinnon, who plays in the same arena. What a treat. I mean, has there ever been a time in Denver sports with the Avs and the Nugs where you had two players playing at that high of a level?
No, because when the Avs were at their peak, the Nuggets didn't have anybody who was in that galaxy.
The Nuggets have never had a player like Jokic.
Yeah, and by the time the Nuggets got Carmelo Anthony, the Avs were on the downside of their run.
Alex English, arguably the greatest Nugget of all time.
But there was no hockey team.
No, no, I understand that.
At that time.
Jokic is much better than English was. Much better. Much better. Much better. Because Alex English was never one of the top three, four players in the league.
Here's where I point out David Thompson was headed to that territory before he shredded his knee.
Was headed. I mean, you made a comment yesterday about somebody. Well, he got injured. Who was that?
A lot of guys get
injured. No. We were talking about something specific. Do you remember, Danny? We were talking about somebody specific. Oh, I know what it was. It was Vince Lombardi. You said, well, but he died.
I thought it was Teddy Bridgewater.
But Teddy Bridgewater got hurt.
Yeah.
But with
Vince Lombardi, yes, he died. It's unfortunate that he died. He's a great man who died. But we don't know what he would have done. But we know what Belichick did.
But we also know what Lombardi did with Green Bay and what...
When nobody left the team. Everybody came back every single year.
Most of those guys were brought in by Lombardi.
I understand.
They were 1-10-1 before he got there.
I understand. He knew how to spot talent, but it was like the Hotel California. You can stay, but you can never leave. That's the way it was in the NFL in the 1960s. Can't leave. There's no free agency. So if you're a great evaluator of talent, you're set for a very long time. So good for him on that.
Yeah.
Is that it?
A couple more head coaching hires in the NFL. Mace, you mentioned the Jets hiring San Francisco defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. And the Falcons have also made their head coaching decision to hire Arthur Smith, the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator. So one team going offense, one team going defense here. Do you like one or the other more, or have no real opinion on either hire?
I think that the Arthur Smith hire is brilliant for the Atlanta Falcons. Because the thing that Smith did in Tennessee, once he got the reins of that offense as offensive coordinator, he maximized what he had in Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in a way that the Titans had not to that point.
How many more jobs are still open?
You've got the Chargers are still open.
Yep.
The Texans are still open. The Eagles are still open.
Okay.
And the Lions.
Oh, and the Lions.
Yes.
Eric Bieniemy, by the way, has not been hired yet.
No, he has not.
And you know what? There's a reason why he hasn't been hired still. I think he might wind up in Houston.
To appease Deshaun Watson and try to put out the fire?
Yep. And that's going to be a disaster.
Well, then the thing is, they're hiring him for the wrong reason, even though you couldn't blame Bieniemy for taking that job if it was offered.
Can't blame him for taking any job. He hasn't been offered anything.
But even with the organizational chaos...
Yeah.
That is engulfing the Texans.
You are adding
right now.
More chaos. You are dumping a bucket of gasoline onto that chaos with the way Bieniemy's personality is.
What you may have.
Can you imagine how combustible that could be?
Well, what you may have is a situation where you have Eric Bieniemy and Deshaun Watson and that offense against the world.
Yep.
And the world includes your own front office.
Right. Listen, I think they might be a good match in terms of offensive philosophy. I think they'd be terrific.
Oh, they'll put up points.
But
that'll be exciting.
But Bieniemy's personality is combustible, and that's why he hadn't gotten a job in the past. He might get one now, but you are walking into a tinderbox in Houston, and now you're adding Eric Bieniemy potentially.
I mean, you could have a situation where it's like, well, the coach is the quarterback's guy, but he's not the guy of Nick Cassero, the GM, and Jack Easterby, who, defying all logic, appears to have some kind of hypnotic grip. He's got a Darth Vader type of grip. He's got a hypnotic spell on Cal McNair, the owner down there.
He has naked pictures.
It's, you know, but I do a good job. A good job. Oh, well, that's okay there, Jack. You do a good job.
That's going to do it for us. Jacob, great job today. Same with you, Danny. All week for everybody. Mace, terrific.
Thank you. Enjoy your
weekend with Charlotte.
You enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
Betting on football.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm playing golf this weekend.
You're not? Whoa, we talked about betting and you're not betting.
I'm not going to bet any of the games. I don't feel good about any of them.
Wow, not even a prop bet.
I'll watch them. I'll miss the first game on Sunday. Other than that, I'm watching the other three.
You're going to miss Cleveland-Kansas City. It's going to be a hell of a game.
I'm sure. Well, I'd rather play golf.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. My bad. My bad professional for missing that game. They're highlights.
No, you're not. I think you'll be okay.
Make it the best possible weekend you can.